Can you hear those sighs in Berlin and Paris?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Thanks for being with us this morning. Europe's two biggest economies crossed a very important threshold today, the one that separates recession and no recession. Both countries reported 0.3% economic growth in the last quarter. Reporter Brett Neely is in Berlin, and he joins us this morning with the latest. Hi, Brett.
Morning, Steve.
So, was this expected?
No, not at all. Most economists were really surprised by the numbers. They weren't expecting growth to resume until sometime in the middle of next year. But there have been a number of positive reports in the past couple of weeks. You know, exports have been way up, and business confidence is on the rise again, too. So, like, it's not a complete surprise.
What happened, Brett? How did things bounce back so quickly?
Well, I'm sure that German Chancellor Angela Merkel and French President Sarkozy are going to take as much credit as they can. Both countries put large stimulus plans into effect, a lot of infrastructure spending, you know, roads, bridges, that sort of thing. Both countries also did cash for clunkers, especially here in Germany, which was the first country to do that. And that was an enormously popular program. I mean, the German government wound up spending about $7 billion to help a lot of people buy new cars. I mean, the funny thing is, of course, is that earlier this year, the U.S. and other countries were criticizing Germany for not spending enough money on its stimulus program. But I guess today's numbers are probably going to end that debate.
So is it time to party then, Brett? Time to break out all the champagne?
Well, if I were Chancellor Angela Merkel, I would definitely want something fizzy. She is running for re-election. The election is at the end of next month, and she's certainly going to say that today's data vindicates her cautious approach to the crisis. But the thing is that if I were a regular German, I don't know if I would party, because credit is still pretty tight. Business bankruptcies are actually on the rise. And most economists, admittedly the same people who thought that the economy was still going to shrink, are saying that unemployment's probably going to rise up until next year. So the real worry is, like in the U.S., is that this will wind up being kind of a jobless recovery.
All right. Reporter Brett Neely joining us from Berlin. Brett, thanks.
Thank you, Steve.
That positive reading from Germany and France is translating into a sunnier Eurozone GDP report. The economy in countries that use the euro currency shrank in the last quarter, but by only 0.1%. That's making traders pretty happy over there. European shares are higher right now. The German DAX is up 1.5%. In Paris, the CAC 40 is in the green by about 1% this morning. Asian markets rebounded today. The Hang Seng added 2% before closing. Here at home yesterday, the S&P was back above 1,000, adding more than 1%. The NASDAQ and Dow were both in similar territory, up more than 1% each, and the Dow closed at 93.61, up about 120. While we keep talking about recovery, there are some aspects of the economy that just can't seem to shake the recession. Foreclosures keep mounting, and according to new numbers out from RealtyTrack, 360,000 homeowners were at least a month behind on their house payments last month. Reporter Tamara Keith has more.
Here's another way to look at it. One in every 355 U.S. households is somewhere in the foreclosure process. RealtyTrack says foreclosure activity is up from June and way up from last year at this time. More than 500,000 people have lost their homes since January. California, Arizona, Florida, and Nevada continue to be the hardest hit. But Illinois saw a spike in activity last month as a foreclosure moratorium ran out there for some homeowners. The continued rise in foreclosures comes even as the Obama administration wraps up its Making Home Affordable program, which aims to help borrowers in trouble by modifying their mortgages. RealtyTrack says unemployment is now a large factor in the foreclosure problem. In Washington, I'm Tamara Keith for Marketplace.
China says today it might appeal that big World Trade Organization decision. The WTO said yesterday the country improperly limits trade in foreign movies, music, and books. The ruling was a big win for the United States. The U.S. charged China was violating free trade rules by forcing importers to route business through Chinese state-owned companies. Beijing insists it does not constrain imports.
American Public Media presents the Marketplace Whiteboard, videos unwrapping the basics of the financial crisis. You can watch them anytime at marketplace.org.
The bankrupt Frontier Airlines goes up for auction in a few hours. The Denver-based low-cost carrier was expected to be bought by the regional airline Republic. But Southwest Airlines is now likely to be Frontier's owner, a move that would raise some eyebrows across the airline industry. Here's Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson.
First and foremost, the acquisition would set up a big contest in Denver. The Mile High City is one of United's main hubs, and according to SH&E aviation consultant Webster O'Brien,
in Denver, Southwest will pull to parity with United.
Southwest will also get its first international routes to Mexico and Costa Rica if its bid for Frontier is successful. And it'll get access to Frontier's other U.S. markets, including Atlanta, home to the busiest airport in the world.
What it means is that you're picking up the expertise and you're picking up the ground presence and you're picking up the sales distribution. Many of the things that take time and expense to build up on your own.
Southwest used to be seen as the scrappy niche player in the airline business. But Seth Kaplan of Airline Weekly says these days it's playing with the big dogs and maybe even beating them at their own game.
You know, Southwest is an airline that adapts very well to a changing marketplace. A lot of the things that they've done right over the years have put them in a position to do this.
And knocking off a low-cost competitor may be a particularly good move right now. Southwest CEO told an industry conference yesterday that ticket prices are going to have to go up soon to cover costs. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
Finally, how about buying a TV for $9.99? That's $9.99 for a 52-inch Samsung flat screen. Yeah, Best Buy says good luck with that. The retailer says the ultra-cheap price on its website yesterday morning was an online mistake, and it won't honor it. Tweeters and bloggers went crazy. By early afternoon, the price had been adjusted to $17.99.99. No word on whether the web guy responsible will be posting any other prices on the website. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.